Yeah, I don't know where to start about talking about Tom Carlin. I met Tom 30 years ago. He was a banker. He's from Philadelphia, and he's a New York Mets fan, and we try not to hold that against Tom. I've seen Tom in the classroom and seen him interact with bankers, and he's just absolutely marvelous and world-class at what he does. This guy's worked with RMA, regulatory agencies, and banks all over the world, and his focus and his forte is teaching bankers the technical side of lending. I worked with Tom at a major bank in a management training program and was able to watch him interact with students. He's really engaging, very interactive, and really, really knowledgeable. Tom's going to talk to you a little bit about some of the trends in financial services from a commercial lending perspective. And we had a great Q&A at the end about some of the things that are going on. Tom's terrific. So enjoy your 10 minutes with Tom Carlin. He's just a wonderful guy. Take it away, Tom.
Well, Jack, it's great being on the call. It's thanks for inviting me. It's exciting to be talking about what happened last year and what we're going to expect for next year. So let's talk about last year. Before they actually started, what were the expectations that were out there, and then what actually happened in the year? Well, first off, starting off the year, loan growth was down. Its loan growth has been down since 2012. What everybody expected was going to happen was, we were going to get a big Trump bump in the economy, and that this was really going to push up lending because regulations would be cut. We were going to have a very business-friendly environment. Again, regulations cut. Tax rates being cut for businesses. And also, we were expecting to see smaller loans especially increasing a lot. Everybody across the board predicted this, that they were going to increase a lot with regulatory declines, especially with the but that's what we expected. What actually did happen? Well, in the economy, GDP was up and employment was down and housing prices were up. All those things were really, really good in 2007. However, it didn't translate into a lot of loan growth. Sluggish loan growth continued in 2017 from the prior year. A lot of commentators out there cited the reason for this was the regulatory climate. I travel around the country teaching, as you do, Jack, and the banks across the board, both large and small, complained about the increased oversight and the costs that came along with it. However, that is true, but the real reason that for the sluggish loan growth was that businesses were just not expanding. This was because the economy, the growth in the economy was somewhat tepid, and businesses faced weak demand due to this tepid recovery. And businesses are hard pressed to justify borrowing to expand, in light of these facts. So loan growth initially faced a hard time as banks shied away from making smaller loans because of the paperwork and regulatory costs. The regulatory costs of making a small loan is about the same as big loans. So a lot of banks focused on bigger loans above $1 million or so. In addition, these compliance costs caused many smaller banks to merge or sell. This trend is very worrying with this merging and selling because some of the provisions of the Dodd-Frank bill, the banking regulations, can restrict many smaller businesses from having access to bank funding, you know, in their smaller towns with the smaller loans. Let's talk about the actual volume, you know, of loans and whether, you know, banks were profitable. Even though we had sluggish growth, the profitability is a different story. Total with C&I loans, the total growth again remained sluggish in 2017, far beneath the pace of a year ago. Ticked up somewhat in the fourth quarters. We're still waiting for some of the numbers from the fourth quarter. And some sectors did better than others, such as hospitals, food, manufacturing, and utilities borrowed more. But others, like professional services, for example, so they went down. With commercial real estate, with CRE, residential loans led CRE growth, with balances across most other property types declining over the same period of time. Even though growth was sluggish, as I said, profitability was up. The rise in earnings was generally driven by net interest income as interest rates have gone up. There is one exception to this, and this was in SBA lending. And SBA lending numbers showed increasing loan levels in the SBA loan programs to small businesses through the 7A and 504 loan programs. The SBA approved, you know, upward around 70,000 loans in these programs, the 7A and the 504 loan programs. These programs provide about $30 billion to small businesses. The SBA has a flagship program. This is called 7A. And the 7A provides small businesses with guaranteed loans, covering the, you know, basically what small businesses need with working capital, fixed asset financing, you know, as well as refinancing and export support through term and revolving loans. So that was the story with loan volume and profitability. With loan losses, let's get to another topic, loan losses and provisioning. According to the FDIC, the number of institutions on the problem bank loan list dropped to its lowest level since 2008. That's pretty good. And banks, however, a lot of banks started increasing their provisioning due to the hurricanes, all right, in various parts of the country. The credit quality. In 2017, the probability of default for C&I loans was at its lowest level since 2014. A lot of small business loans that might have been directly done through the bank in the past were done under the auspices of the SBA. And this has helped reduce the probability of default. For CRE loans, the number of CRE loans, you know, risk rated high pass or passed increased over the last several years. So again, good trends in that area also. From a teaching perspective, I'll just give you some anecdotal knowledge that I have, again, going across the country and talking to bankers. Some areas of the country are seeing declining loan standards, fewer covenants, et cetera, due to increased competitive pressures. Also, from a teaching perspective, a lot of institutions are giving a lot of lip service, basically, to their commitment to small business lending. Some are even spending large amount of dollars training staff on how to better interact with small business customers to bring in better, more creditworthy deals. They want the people that are out there roping them in to know more about financials and what they're talking about, et cetera. And I expect we're going to see more of that going forward. Well, that's 2017. Let's talk about 2018 and what we want to, you know, what we're going to see in 2018. So, there are a lot of conflicting viewpoints as to what this year is going to bring. You only have to turn on the TV and switch from one channel to the other, to and from one economic expert to the other, to see what effect the tax cuts are going to have on investment and capital spending. My expectation is that a lot of businesses, they've got their budgets and planning set already before this tax package has been passed. And my expectation is that any effects from the revised tax landscape will come in the third and fourth quarters, with only modest growth in the beginning of the year. This economic growth span. Lower tax rates will be especially beneficial to financial institutions, as they pay higher than average tax rates, and they don't have, you know, as many available deductions as certain other industries. So it should help bank profitability. Profitability should also increase with increased interest rates. Interest rates are predicted to go up, and this will help banks' profitability. In addition, you know, if you just turn on the news, there is talk about a bipartisan approach to revising some of the Dodd-Frank regulations, which, if that actually happens, should help boost profitability. There is another trend, and that the trend is towards reducing excess, all right, through increased branch consolidation, headcount reduction, and digitization. I expect all these things will continue. However, investments in technology and continued regulatory-related expenses will, you know, offset this somewhat. I also expect to see in 2018 more of a trend towards these smart credit cards, more institutions offering this, that where you can just turn them on and off, you know, at your will. You know, you've seen some of the commercials on TV already for this, and I expect this trend to continue. Smaller banks are playing a catch-up game with digitization, and so they're trying to merge together with other organizations to be able to compete with some of the larger banks, and reducing expenses through this automation. And again, I expect that to continue. So anyway, that's my summary, Jack, of, you know, what I see happening in 2018.
Well, you know, we don't get a chance to talk a lot, and we've done a lot of webinars together, and certainly over the third we've known each other, we've had a chance to chat a lot, and you know how much I respect you and your abilities and your knowledge. So I have a few questions that maybe bankers might ask if this were a live program. And let me just throw them out at you, and then we can maybe go one at a time. Payoffs. We're seeing a lot of payoffs, and I wonder if you're seeing that. Swaps and how banks are using swaps as far as lending goes to improve their fee income. One of the things that we're looking at is can commercial real estate lenders, and this is where community banks grow, can commercial real estate lenders become C&I lenders and have the patience to be able to do that? You've already addressed digital, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about that, the digital borrowing. And the last thing I want to talk about is in the new tax law, and while you don't do much as much on the personal side as you do on the business side, the equity loan interest deductions have been eliminated, and I'm curious as to your take on what's happening in that. So let's go back to the top, payoffs. What are you seeing with your clients in terms of businesses wanting to pay their loans down?
I see that there's an increasing trend to that, and partially it depends on different areas of the country, Jack. You hear different things, you know, with that. But there's also a trend to leaving banks and going to other non-bank sources for funding. This is a, you know, a trend that's picking up somewhat exponentially. Anyway, so I expect to see, you know, that happening again. The paying off, you know, is going to continue, but it's going to be on a regional by region basis.
And when you're seeing this going to fintechs and other non-bank lenders, is that small business, or has that crept into the middle market at all?
It's more middle market. It's more middle market going to those, not so much small business.
Okay,
but
gotcha.
We'll see as these organizations grow and expand, we'll see if they start going, you know, a bit smaller with some of the loans that they're offering out there.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Now with with margins being squeezed, now the margins are going to get a little better. But what are you seeing with banks trying to do around swaps and getting some fee income off of these loans?
To be honest with you, Jack, you know, I have not heard of that many institutions doing that. Maybe you've heard more about it in your travels, but it's not a trend that, you know, I've heard all that much about just in my travels. That doesn't mean that it's not happening.
All right, that's fair. Well, let's talk patience. You know, you talk different parts of the country. People out east tend to be a little less patient. People in the Midwest are kind of more patient. People out in California and the West Coast are real patient. But the whole idea of this, having a banker being a generalist versus a commercial real estate loan lender, is I'm seeing more happen as well. Banks want to move more towards C&I lending. But if they've got a commercial real estate lender, they may not have the patience. What are you seeing about bankers being able to migrate through the various different kinds of businesses they're lending to?
It's slow going. And the this happens particularly, you know, after, you had the banking crisis that happened 2008, 2009, et cetera. A lot of the regulators came in, and a lot of the banks, especially a lot of the smaller banks, their whole portfolio was CRE lending, you know, CRE lending. And they were pushing them to do more C&I sort of, you know, lending. And a lot of my training over the last number of years has been going into those types of banks and nudging them down that path of doing more C&I lending. And some of it went in fits and starts, Jack. They tried to go too big. Some of the smaller banks went too big with some of the C&I that they were going after. Rather than small businesses, they were going after larger loans and structures that they weren't that comfortable with. And now they've pulled back a bit, and they're going after small to middle market businesses, trying to get people more up to speed on understanding their customers better and their customers' asset conversion cycle, both for lending and to understand how they would need to borrow, and also for treasury management. So to become somewhat more of that buzz term, right, Jack, that trusted financial advisor. A lot of them are trying to do that, you know, to break more into the C&I market. So I think that's going to continue. Yeah,
I do too, Tom. And the last couple of things, you mentioned digitization and the whole idea of people borrowing on a website or going to a mobile device to borrow money you and I are kind of old school. It just seems like I would never do that. But young entrepreneurs that are doing this in record numbers, how are banks responding to this?
You know, the thing is, a lot of people think with going online, there is a trend, of course, to going online with the digitization. It's cheaper to process the loan and all that sort of thing, and that's going to continue. But the banks are continuing to respond by, in the branches, giving better customer service. Everybody thinks that the millennials, for example, that they don't like going to bank branches, that they like doing everything online. That's simply not true. They do like going to bank branches. And so the branch trend, while you might have some consolidation, the branches are going to be there. And I think that they're going to have to compete on the branch level with getting to know their customers to better in order to compete. They're going to be focusing themselves on reducing cost in the back office with automation, with documentation, applications, and all that sort of thing. You know, they're trying to reduce their expenses that way in order to compete, you know, against the online.
Okay, that's fair. Last question, and this is a crystal ball thing because nobody really knows what's going to happen with this new tax law. But equity loans have been eliminated. Interest on equity loans have been eliminated from taxation. So what do you see in there? What's going to happen?
I think that, home equity, I mean, if you just think about it, it's some of the interest is, you know, if someone needs to borrow, let's say someone needs to borrow, make a, you know, on a personal level, they need to borrow. The home equity loans are, even with the tax advantage being eliminated, are still a more attractive alternative than borrowing under a credit card or something along those lines. So I still think home equity loans are going to be there. What do you think?
Well, I agree. And I can't speak for you. When Bob St. Meyer and I started our business 18 years ago, we didn't borrow money because we couldn't. Banks would lend to us, but we did have home equity loans, and that's how we certainly made it through. So I agree. Well, Tom, you know, I got to tell everybody online, this has gone a little more than 10 minutes, and I anticipated that when Tom and I get together, it's a long conversation. But when Bob and I refer anybody around teaching credit skills, there's only one buddy we send them to, and that's you, Tom.
Thank you, Jack.
So tell everybody, email address, phone number, website, how do they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me at the easiest email address would probably be tom@thomascarlin.com. That's thomascarlin.com. And the phone number is 914-834-4555. So that's how they get me.
Thank you. Being on with this, Tom, 10 minutes with you, you've given us some great prognostications for 2018.
All right, Jack.
So you want to get a hold of Tom Carlin? You should. If you've got some needs in the technical areas around commercial lending, business banking, consumer, give Tom a call. 914-834-4555 and a lot of different email addresses. Tom's pretty active on LinkedIn as well, but here's an email address you can reach Tom at. It's tomcar1@mindspring.com. You reach out to Tom there, you'll be able to get all kinds of information about what Tom does. Hey, Tom, thanks for taking 10 minutes with us.